Welcome to The Offseason, a show covering the Miami Dolphins, the NFL, pop culture, drinking culture, and of course, professional wrestling. Now, here are your hosts, Alf Artiaga, and myself, Eric Brave.
And we're on, and this is The Offseason with Alf Artiaga and Marek Brave. Marek Brave has been with us all offseason. It's been 6 weeks now that he's been with us. He will be with us basically the duration of the offseason until training camp starts, and then I'll take over with my training camp reports. It's been a lot of fun doing these shows with you, Marek. So a lot has happened since the last time we spoke, huh?
Yeah, I really do feel like a lot has happened. You got to celebrate a Stanley Cup Finals championship, the Florida Panthers hoisting the trophy, not just hoisting it, taking it for a bath in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean there. How about that?
Yeah, that's awesome. And Ryan Lomberg has still not put on clothes yet. He could be spotted at your local restaurant or club climbing poles shirtless and in his underwear. What freedom does a championship give you to just be walking around in your underwear and nobody bats an eye, right?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. This stuff doesn't happen in the NFL. I think the closest we got to it was when the Bucks won the Super Bowl and Tom Brady was throwing the Lombardi Trophy from boat to boat.
Yes.
In the harbor there.
Yeah.
Scaring everybody.
There's a picture of the – you're aware of the keeper of the cup, right? The guy that follows the cup around?
Yeah, I saw him on the broadcast. He was polishing that thing up, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was polishing up for everybody else to trash it for the next 3 weeks. There's a picture of him looking on as Roberto Luongo is eating pasta out of it, and the look of horror on his face is it just tells you all you need to know. You know what I mean?
How much do you think he gets paid to do that?
It has to be a good job. The guy travels all over the country with the thing, you know? You know, and he has to take care of it. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a pretty good salary, and he's been doing it forever.
Yeah. You ever wonder if he just looks at something like that and goes, oh, I'm sick of this shit.
I'm sick of this fucking trophy already. This trophy's insane. Yeah, enough with this trophy. But, yeah, man, it's been so much fun. I'm going broke buying championship gear.
And, as you should.
And championship tchotchkes. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You got to buy it all. By the way, I am getting a... I never thought I would see this date, but I knew it was going to happen eventually. You know, if one of my teams won a championship. But I am buying the WWE championship belt for the Florida Panthers. By the way, did you see what it looks like?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God. Go look it up. When you get a chance, go look up the...
Look it up right now.
Yeah. You got to go to the Panthers website, and it's right there on the front page. You can buy it right there for $550. It's not like those legacy belts that you can buy for the Miami Dolphins. By the way, I would never buy that until they win a Super Bowl. If they win a Super Bowl,
it here.
Doesn't that thing look nice?
It has the trophy in the middle, right? With the logos on the side plates.
Yes. Doesn't that thing look nice?
Look nice.
Yeah, yes. That thing's getting bought. Like, that's happening. Okay? So, yeah, I will never buy the legacy. You've seen the legacy Dolphin belt that they have on WWE shop?
Yeah, it's a little cheesy.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. Now they win a Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm buying it and I'm wearing it.
Yeah, if the Dolphins win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be right there with you, Alpha. I'm going to be going broke, buying every piece of merchandise. I'll even get one of those cheesy, like, replica Super Bowl rings and wear it on game days.
Yes.
I'll probably get some Dolphins-themed tattoos. I actually already have one Dolphins-themed tattoo. I got the Angry Dolphin logo tattooed on my leg.
Well, I'm getting that. I'm getting that. I'm getting the tattoo. Once the Dolphins win a Super Bowl, I'm getting the tattoo that I was going to get originally, which is I was waiting for all my teams to win so I could combine a tattoo with all their logos, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. You got it. These things don't happen very often. And for us Dolphins fans, most of us, we haven't seen a championship. The last time this team won a championship was well over 50 years ago at this point. So, I mean, if it happens, there's no guarantee it's going to happen again in your lifetime. You better go big with it.
Yeah, and I've already looked it up, by the way. So, I admit that I have done this. I've looked up what a replica Lombardi trophy costs, and it's a bargain. It's like $1,200. I'm getting that shit. Like, that's happening.
That's awesome.
And I've seen it, and you can't tell the difference, man. I swear to God, you can't tell the difference. And if you read under it, it says made by the same makers that give the replicas to the players. So if you've ever seen a player that does an interview, like on ESPN or whatever, and they have a Lombardi behind them, that's not really a Lombardi. That's the replica that you can buy as a player from the team. Okay?
Interesting.
So, yes, that is happening. If the Dolphins win a Super Bowl, I'm buying a replica Lombardi, and it's going right behind me when I do all these YouTube hits. Like the one that I did yesterday with Reason, Omar, Kyle Krabs, and Neil Driscoll. So, yes, that is happening. Okay? And I'm probably going to make that available on our store as well. Speaking of our store, if you want to buy gear, you want to buy 3YPC gear or OnlyFans gear or some of our great designs. You've seen them, right, Marek? How great those shirts look.
Especially, oh, yeah.
I am so proud of that Mike McDaniel Now You're Just Flexing t-shirt. That's a good-looking t-shirt by any standard. Like, I'll take the Pepsi Challenge with anything WWE produces, okay, with that t-shirt. You could get
I'm very interested in trying the coffee, personally.
Yes, we have three blends on there. Of course, our blends are named after the three hosts of 3 Yards Per Carry. But if you want to buy any of our gear, you want to check out any of our designs, our Greatest Show on Surf t-shirt, which is getting a lot of compliments out in public, and, of course, our Mike McDaniel t-shirt, and the sequel to our Miami Tua 2020 t-shirt, which is now McDaniel Tua 2024 t-shirt, you go to onlyfans.printify.me/products and you get them all there. All right.
And Alf, after that presidential debate last night, I think I would actually vote for McDaniel Tua.
Oh my God, what a great ticket that would be, right? Although Tua's a little polarizing to be VP, you know what I mean? Like, everybody would be protecting Mike McDaniel with their lives, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if you consider, you know, that the haters that Tua has in the Twitter sphere. Speaking of Tua, something dropped earlier this week and everybody had a cow. Of course, this dropped
the
morning after the Panthers had just won the Stanley Cup, so I couldn't give less of a shit.
Still right. Riding high. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Alf. You know, we had the Darlington report that the Dolphins are, you know, quote-unquote, not offering Tua a market value contract currently. Now, we didn't get details on that. We don't know if that's an average per year. We don't know if that's in total guarantees. We don't know if that's injury guarantees, which I almost wonder if it's that, you know, given Tua's lengthy injury history in the NFL. He did play a full season last year, but that's the first time he's done that in a long time. So I almost wonder if it's something like that. And I wrote a column about that on thefinsider.com where I write weekly articles, and it blew up. You know, people were arguing in the comment section about, well, that's the right thing for the Dolphins to do. And then people were arguing about, no, you got to pay him now. And I know where you stand, Alf, and I'm on the same page here. I want Tua locked up. I want him locked up long term. I don't want to worry about the quarterback position anymore. Do these people not remember the 20 years between Dan Marino and Tua when we struggled through players named Cleo Lemon and John Beck? And like, come on now, guys. Like, you got a quarterback who led the league in passing this past year and is on the up and up. And not only that, you've built an entire system and an entire team of skill players around him. Specifically, and now you're gonna pinch pennies when it comes to locking up the most important piece of the puzzle, and that's your quarterback. Like, what's going on here, Alf?
Yeah,
talking off this ledge here. Is this deal gonna get done?
Well, we got plenty of time here. Today is June the 28th, so you got a month. Okay, you got essentially a month before training camp to the day. Actually, like they report. All the vets report on July the 28th. So there is a month from today to get this deal done. I expect them to get it done. No distractions, okay? There's going to be three deadlines. I spoke about this last night on the show. that I was on with Reasons, Omar, Kyle Krabs, and Neil Driscoll. There's three realistic deadlines, okay? Training camp is the first deadline. The start of the preseason, before a preseason game, is the second deadline. And the last one is the week of the opener against the Jaguars. If nothing's done by the opener of the season against the Jaguars, then this thing could get extremely ugly. I can't, for the life of me, think about what they're haggling over at this point. It has to be the structure and the guarantee. It can't be the total committed dollars, because it just does not matter. You know, so I'm anxious. What did Tua say that he was? He was antsy. Yeah.
Antsy.
Yeah. Antsy is a very, very good word.
What kind of message does this send to the rest of the locker room, Alf? You know, that they're haggling so deeply with a quarterback that, quite frankly, I feel like he's proven himself the last couple seasons, but even if you just look at last season alone, I think he proved himself to be, at the very least, a top 10 quarterback in this league, but I'd go as far to say he's a top 5 quarterback in this league. What type of message does this hardball negotiation stuff send to the rest of the locker room?
It sends a message that we're going to pinch pennies when we're talking about winning and we want to have no distractions. Like, their financial house is already in order. Okay, they got pretty much everybody they wanted to get in here. They already got them in on their deals. They still have a couple of levers that they can pull as far as salary, like the Tyreek Hill lever, that they're haggling over. Who knows what the hell they're haggling over? It sends a bad message. It sends a message that we rather keep our salary cap, our pristine salary cap in order, rather than keep distractions out of the locker room and our preseason. I don't want my quarterback thinking about that contract. And I've said this before, it's not really about the money in this case, although it's almost always about the money when people say that it's not about the money. In this case, it's about what the money says. You know? It's about what the money says. And as of right now, what it's saying is, oh yeah, yeah, we understand that all your peers got paid, but no, we're not paying you yet. You know, you have to suffer through this and wait it out while everybody else in your class got paid. I think that's wrong, especially considering he's been better than a couple of guys in his class. Most of his guys in his class besides Burrow, yeah. And better than Trevor Lawrence, who got paid as well. You know, Jared Goff has been really, really good. He got paid. So what am I, special? You know, I'm on the pay no mind list now. You know, I'm on the pay no mind and pay no money list as of right now. You know, it's embarrassing. It's just not a good look for the franchise. They got a month, you know, so I'll begin to worry about this come July the 28th. All right. So July the 28th.
To be fair, Alf, the very next day, Adam Schefter came out on NFL Live, and he threw some water on the Darlington report and said, this is going to get done. Not that big of a deal. You know, his report was definitely a little more Dolphin friendly.
Yes.
What'd you make about that? I felt like the Darlington report was more of a Tua's camp fueled report. And the Schefter report was, he was getting word from Dolphins front office, hey, don't worry about it, not that big of a deal. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I thought it was an odd combination, because Darlington, you know, it's no secret. Darlington is very well connected with the Dolphins, okay? But it could also be that he has a very good connection with Athletes First, you know, Tua's reps. So maybe, you know, the word came through, you know, Athletes First to Darlington, and then the Dolphins reached out to Schefter, which is entirely possible, okay? I don't think it would be vice versa. I don't think it would be the other way around. Dolphins wouldn't want to put out that report that Darlington put out, okay?
Yeah.
Even though Darlington's very well connected with the Dolphins, you know. We do know that Jeremy Fowler is very well connected with Tua. Maybe not his reps, but his family, because all you got to do is go on his timeline and research the stories he's broken, and he's remarkably first on pretty much everything Tua related, from going all the way back to Alabama to his concussions to his rib injury against the Bills, etc., etc., etc. So I would monitor, if you're going to monitor three accounts, you monitor Darlington, you monitor Jeremy Fowler, and you monitor Schefter, now that he's thrown his hat into the ring. But yeah, this thing has to get done.
Has to.
Yeah. All right, let's get a couple of questions.
I think we're all just getting flashbacks to the Christian Wilkins situation,
yep,
where we heard for a year straight, oh, don't worry about it, this is definitely getting done, no bones about it, and then all of a sudden he's signing a massive contract with the Raiders, and we're all like, what the hell happened?
Yep. All right, let's read a couple of questions, and then we'll open it up to talk about anything else, including parade talk. I'm trying to figure out how the hell am I going to get down there and be able to park, you know? So I'm obviously going to have to walk a long way, but I got to figure it out. So I got to map out. It's going to be down A1A on the beach up north. So I got to figure out where I'm leaving the car. Uber's not a possibility. Okay? Because the Uber drivers are going to charge right up the ass to get you down there. You know? But if you are going to be looking for me, anybody who's in the audience, I'll probably be at Bo's Beach Bar. That's Bo Camper's Beach Bar down there by the parade route near the stage. And you'll see me, you know. Come and say hi. Buy me a beer. All right. Let's take a couple of questions. The first one is, I know most people want to toss Liam, meaning Liam Meichenberg, in the trash can. Well, I want to go that far. You know, same as it did this last year with AJ. I really want to think that Butch makes that much of a difference, and Wilkins not there to take all his lunch money on a resurgent year from Liam at guard. Yeah, Christian Wilkins used to beat up on Liam Meichenberg in practice training camp. I can't believe talent evaporates. Do you think there's a real shot he takes the AJ leap? That's the first part of his question. I would say yes, it's a distinct possibility that he does. He does not, however, have the physical traits that Austin Jackson had, okay? Especially now. You look at Austin Jackson in person, he looks impressive. Your thoughts, Merrick?
You know, if Liam finally has a chance to settle in at one position and play at that position all offseason, you know, I mean, in his time in the league, he's played left tackle, he's played right tackle, he's played guard, he's played center, and it always feels like he's just shuffling from one position to the next. Fingers crossed, knock on wood, this offensive line stays healthy this year. Liam could focus at one position, and that position is guard, right guard in particular. And if he can focus there with the help of Butch Berry, who, you know, like, who was it, Cap Stern here? Yeah, Cap Stern says, you know, Barry was there to help AJ last year, Austin Jackson. But this time last year, we were all ready to give up on Austin Jackson. And as the season progressed, he got so much better that they ended up extending him. I don't think any of us predicted that going down last season. So it's possible. It's certainly possible. I'm not going to bet my mortgage payment on it, but it could happen. But he's got to win that starting job first. You know what I mean? Like, we can't just sit here and give him the starting right guard job. You got Driscoll, who was brought in here for a reason as well. So we'll see how that one shakes out. But I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility that Eichenberg could have an Austin Jackson type leap and end up getting himself a little extension with the club.
Second part of his question, do you ever see a package where we have no tight end and it's Hill, Waddle, OBJ, Wright, Mostert, and Achane? Absolutely, because Achane can play wide receiver. And if you're the DC, what do other guys, what do you do if you're the DC? Obviously, you got to play dime and light boxes, which opens you up against the run. So, yeah, this offense is going to be extremely versatile. And Jonnu Smith allows for that. OBJ allows for that. And that running back room, so good, allows for that as well. Agree?
Oh, I agree. I just would like to add what I think defensive coordinators will do. They will pray. They will get on their hands and knees, and they will pray that they are able to stop this offense. Again, a lot of it's going to come down to health. And one underrated aspect of this offseason that the Dolphins have been able to do is they took a team last year that was good on paper but was not deep on paper. And, you know, you saw some departures in Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt, but with that money, you were able to sign so many quality players and then draft quality players as well. And all of a sudden, you look at this roster, and in some spots, they're not as top-heavy as they were last year, but the depth is there. And this team should be able to weather the storm a little bit better when it comes to injuries, as long as a few key players don't get injured. And I'm not even going to name those players because I'm not trying to put that out into the universe. But they should be able to weather the storm a little bit better than they did last year. And if one player goes down in a certain position, that's not going to tank the season like it has the last couple of years with this Dolphins team when it comes playoff time.
Next question. What did Campbell, meaning Calais Campbell, give Hand to get number 93? And somebody immediately writes under it, a firm stare.
Yes. Yeah. Great answer.
So, yeah, I'm wondering as well. I don't think he gave him anything, man. I think he's, you know, Calais Campbell's the OG. I think he asked for the number and you give it to him. Simple as that. You know what I mean?
He's a large man.
Yes. Next question. Curious, is there is a debate about who can run, how can any QB run this offense? Sure, any QB can run any system, but it's how well. I would like to think that only QBs who could run this offense close to Tua has to be fast processors. He writes Mahomes. Mahomes is not a fast processor, by the way. Who else could you see close to the processing speed? I actually like one guy that probably is going to be available a year from now, and that's Dak Prescott. And Kirk Cousins might be available as well. But that would be one of the dumbest moves a GM would ever make. Pinch pennies with Tua Tagovailoa to pay more to an aging and older Dak Prescott. So, Tua's pretty unique. You're talking about a handful, you know, about five guys in the league that can operate this offense at his efficiency and his level of success. So, look, I think the deal will get done, okay? It's just a matter of, you know, how much more is this going to cost Stephen Ross? But as far as it costing more money for Stephen Ross, it will. Dolphins will cave. This is not a situation where you put your foot down. You can put your foot down with a defensive tackle in Christian Wilkins. You can put your foot down with a guard in Robert Hunt. You're not going to put your foot down with the quarterback. You're playing with fire at that point. Agree?
Yeah. I want to go back to a little bit of what Darlington said. We didn't touch on this. He kind of added it at the end of his segment where he talked about how he thinks a Jordan Love deal in Green Bay gets done first, and that will further complicate things for Tua's camp. Do you think that happens? What type of contract do you see Jordan Love getting? And then what does Tua's representatives, what do they say to the Dolphins after that? Because Jordan Love quite literally has had half a season of good production in the National Football League. So if he's getting $55 million a year with $200 million guaranteed like Jared Goff did, like Tua has the right to ask for $57 or $58 million a year if that happens, right?
Yeah, and I don't think it's even about the annual you know, money. I think it has to do with the guarantee. And people have done some digging on Trevor Lawrence's contract. Trevor Lawrence's contract is not what it was made out to be, okay? His cash at signing is not that large. If Tua, I think, is offered somewhere around $150 million at signing in guarantees, actual guarantees, I think we have ourselves a deal. What this tells me is that they're probably in that Hertz area of about 115 to 118, and that is probably unacceptable at this point. Trevor Lawrence, I believe, is at 146, 142 to 146, something like that. And, you know, remember, he came in behind everybody else, and you know, is barely keeping up with inflation as far as everybody else. Could Tua want the largest number at 150? I think so. Would I pay it? Yes, I would. Because a longer-term deal is still going to keep his number pretty low for those first 3 years. It's going to allow you to build out a pretty good team. All these long-term deals, you're basically just banking on either, on two things. The cap keep going up and the quarterback having a long career. And if you get both, it's going to be worth it because you're still going to be under 20% of the cap. You could build out a team with 80% of it every single year. So I don't foresee any problems in getting that done. And that's the thing. We don't know what they're haggling over.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Trevor Lawrence has 7 years left on the deal after signing the extension with $142 million in true guarantees over the seven-year period. And it looks like Jared Goff here has $113.6 million in true guarantees with $170 million guaranteed for injury. So,
yeah, Tua has to beat those guys. He has to beat somewhere around 150, and I think we have our deal. You know, if they're trying to slot him in between those guys, that's a mistake. And if I'm Tua, I don't sign that deal. You know, but we shall see. We have a month. You know, but tick 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 tick. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. More developments this past week. I know he's lobbied for it, and I don't think it's a good look to have Paul Heyman lobbying for an Emmy, but he deserves one, okay? His performance during Raw and SmackDown the last few weeks has been nothing short of spectacular. I don't know, did you see when CM Punk was out there and was being threatened by the Bloodline 2.0? Did you see that?
I did not see that yet, no.
Okay, it was great. The wise man, Paul Heyman, was passing along that Roman had left a decree that Punk is not to be touched in any shape, way, or form, and that Cody is his and his alone to deal with, right? Solo conveyed, I hate to break the news to you, Paul, but Roman's not coming back. And, of course, as CM Punk was making his way out of the ring, he asked Paul if he needs anything, and Paul just squirms and says, take me with you, which is just such a great line. Of course, later on that show, Jacob Fatu makes his debut, and Jesus Christ, this guy
is, I did see that.
This guy is everything everybody's ever talked about. He seems 20, 30 pounds lighter. This guy's not only the real deal, but he's serious about this. This is gonna be great. This is gonna be great. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see what happens next. Like, this is true episodic television. Like, this is gonna be good, good shit. Like, I can't wait. I just can't wait.
Yeah. Jacob Fatu. He was making waves on the independent circuit for quite a while now. I actually have a number of graduates who have worked with him in the ring, and they always come back with nothing but incredibly positive things to say about him, while also adding that he will clearly be in WWE someday. Well, someday has arrived, and it was an electric arrival. He moves with intent. He moves with purpose, excuse me. A lot of snap on what he does, a lot of aggression on what he does, which when he made his debut and he was just cleaning house like that, like, and then he does the big splash off the top to the outside through the announcer's table, like, that is how you debut someone on your television product. That is how you tell the world, hey, maybe 95% of you out there don't know who this guy is, but now you do. And he's a badass, and he's going to be a major player in this storyline that they got going on, which is clearly going to be some sort of rogue bloodline versus true bloodline story. I assume The Rock will be on one side, Roman will be on the other side when he comes back, and it'll be a civil war of sorts. It'll all come to a head.
But in the meantime, in the meantime, they're going to try to assemble the Avengers against these guys, it looks like, right? Including Cody.
Well, yeah, you got to do that, right? And then, you know, when the Avengers don't win, it's all hope is lost, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to work. I think it's great, you know? And then, of course, Drew McIntyre and Punk, like, that feud is hot. Like, that thing's good, you know? Good sign, right, not a good sign, not for Punk, but that he got beat up backstage. It means SummerSlam is absolutely happening then with Drew,
yeah,
right?
I would imagine so. And it's right around the corner, too. We're getting close to that. It's shaping up to be a really good
card. 5 weeks away, right? 5 weeks.
Yeah. And that's enough time to keep adding fuel to the fire of these feuds and get it all to a boiling point to where people can't wait to see it go down. You know, SummerSlam has become the second WrestleMania of the year, although at this point now, most of these, what do they call them, premium live events, the PLEs, the pay-per-views, as we all used to call them, most of these are feeling like a really big deal now that they're taking them overseas and selling out giant stadiums, 80,000, 100,000 people over there. But SummerSlam is the biggest event of the summer for a reason, and it's shaping up to be an awesome, awesome card.
Yeah, and man, one last thing before we move on to other products in the wrestling sphere. How do I say this? This Uncle Howdy thing has potential to be hokey. You agree?
Yeah, I know we talked about it last week, and I didn't necessarily give my full thoughts on the debut. I actually did think the debut was a little cheesy in the fact that it felt like they were going through a haunted house type scenario. I liked it. I liked the tone of it a little bit more this last week, where it felt a little more somber, and you got kind of some reasoning behind it from Bo Dallas. Obviously, Bo Dallas is talking to his alter ego, Uncle Howdy, and it kind of smacked you in the face a little bit, you know? He talked about how did you feel when your brother died, and that's obviously a real-life thing that happened, Bray Wyatt being his brother and his brother suddenly passing away last year, and that was almost breaking the fourth wall in a sense. And you hope that Bo is completely okay with that, and he isn't being coerced into doing a storyline about his dead brother, because that would be kind of shitty. But Alf, anytime you get these kind of supernatural type characters, you know, The Undertaker, obviously a very successful version of that, but we've seen some very unsuccessful versions of that. Do you remember the guy Mordecai?
Yes.
He was supposed to be the new Undertaker. He had, you know, white hair and white gear, and he was supposed to be, you know, the foil to the evil, dark Undertaker, and that just, it belly flopped. It fell flat on its face, you know. These type of things happen, and we kind of saw it with the Wyatt family back in the day. It got a little too convoluted and a little too hokey, and then all of a sudden, Bray Wyatt debuts the Fiend character, and now the Fiend character is impervious to pain
including being set on fucking fire.
and yes, and then doesn't die. It's just at the end of the day, wrestlers have to be vulnerable to make it work, right? Because if somebody's just invincible all the time, then you run into a Goldberg situation where it's like, all right, well, how do we beat this guy? And then any way that you do it becomes unsatisfactory to the audience, and they go, no, this is my Superman, you know? So
yeah,
they
like,
run the risk of doing this.
It also has to do with their booking as well. Like, I never understood, okay, now there's the Fiend. All right. I kind of like Bray Wyatt, but they decided this is not good anymore. We're going to try something new. So he's the Fiend now. And now the Fiend cares about world championship belts. Like, no. Like, why the fuck would he care about wearing the strap? Like, why? Like, what does that prove to him, right?
And I absolutely see your point, but they kind of paint themselves in a corner that way, because when you're wrestlers, your performers, your competitors, don't care about winning championships, then the house of cards that is pro wrestling kind of comes toppling down on itself, you know?
Although the supernatural character shouldn't care, you know, or the cult leader in Bray Wyatt shouldn't care about, you know, having a belt.
Well, sure, but if the supernatural character only cares about hurting people, then why doesn't he become a serial killer in whatever town he lives in, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Why have him fight people in a wrestling ring with ropes on each side?
Yeah, know? I never understood, like, whoever was in charge of that storyline completely fucked that up, because as soon as they brought in Bray Wyatt, I thought to myself, you know how this works? If his whole plan all this time is just to score off with Undertaker at WrestleMania, you know? You could do like a 2-year build with this thing. No, he wrestles Undertaker, Undertaker squashes him in 15 minutes.
Should have been more of a passing the torch situation.
Yes, you know. Maybe even a disqualification, you know, win to quote unquote break the streak, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, even if you don't want to pin the Undertaker 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring, you know, have him somehow win a disqualification. Something like that would have worked. But
it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Personally, I'm just happy for Bo Dallas that he gets an outlet for one, but also he's back on TV and, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, like you were saying the other day, you keep him off. Or you keep him out of the ring. He shouldn't be wrestling on Raw. He shouldn't be wrestling on SmackDown if he ever makes his way over there. He needs to be wrestling on pay-per-views only, and probably not every pay-per-view. You know, you make it a special deal. You make him an attraction of sorts, and you make it a big deal when he does actually get a chance to wrestle. But at the end of the day, that's kind of the problem with the supernatural characters, is at the end of the day, this is still wrestling, and at some point, they have to wrestle. So you can be as evil and as macabre as you want to be, but at some point you have to get in the ring and have a wrestling match. And in a way, that's almost a letdown for a character that's as evil as these characters are supposed to be.
All right, and moving on to AEW, my boy MJF is now some kind of babyface somehow. And feuding with something called Hechicero. I'm out.
And he's wrestling Daniel Garcia at Wembley, I saw, was announced.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, that's happening.
Why? I know Daniel Garcia. I've been on shows with Daniel Garcia. He's a nice guy. But you're going to have MJF come back, you know, this big Triple H-esque return. And he's going to wrestle the guy who does a swivel hip dance?
Yeah, not only that, but I don't know what they did on his last show on, I believe it was Dynamite. I get all these names. Like, they have so many different names for these shows. But they portrayed him some kind of babyface. Like, when a guy gets attacked in the ring and gets beaten all to shit, right? And he has to struggle back to his feet to make a comeback. That's a babyface thing. You know, since when do babyfaces run in and beat the crap out of heels and leave them laying? It doesn't work that way. But now MJF is fighting off, you know, fighting the good fight. I despise that. Okay? He's no babyface. We like him because he's an asshole. In fact, there's a that the fans chant, he's our scumbag. Like, please, don't fuck this up, okay? You know? Hopefully it was just a screw up, and that's just Tony Khan, you know, fantasy booking his own show and fucking it up. I hope he understands the difference between baby faces and heels. MJF should not be left laying by a bunch of heels. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I mean, you'll have to see where it pays off. But, you know, to touch on what you just said, I really don't think Tony Khan understands the differences between baby faces and heels. And I think his product for the last 5 years or so has kind of proven that. Yeah, Not really my cup of tea, but you know what is my cup of tea? Who Killed WCW? Have you continued to watch that, Alf?
Absolutely. And I came up with a verdict. You ready to render a verdict on this show? Like, I'm ready to give somebody 25 to life, or maybe even the electric chair. You ready?
Oh, go ahead. Who killed it?
Vince Russo killed WCW.
Oh, Vince Russo. I think so many people had their hands in it, but if I'm going to give you my answer, I'm going to go with those execs.
Yes.
They convinced me.
Yes. They did not. They didn't want the product. They fucked up the product. But at some point, eyeballs went off of the product. And it started with the finishes at their two big pay-per-views.
Yes.
It started with terrible booking decisions, like Hulk Hogan in the fucking Georgia Dome dropping the belt to Goldberg when that should be a pay-per-view event. Okay? Yep. They gave that away for free. Vince Russo with all the hokey crap that he started doing, and then cutting promos and putting himself on TV. Doing
the championship?
Yes, on one of the minor actors from Scream. Like, come on. You know what I mean? Yeah. This wasn't like Matt Damon showed up on your TV show, okay? All right. My God, so many bad decisions. But I would say they were in a vulnerable spot, and Vince Russo had the opportunity to bring them back up when they were still competitive, and he brought them down. So I'm going to say he killed it. Although the ultimate answer is obviously Vince McMahon.
Yeah, and Vince swooping in and purchasing WCW for the low dollar amount that he did when Bischoff said he had a deal for $69 million on the table. And then somehow that gets taken from those people, and instead Vince buys it for a total of what, $4 million? That's absurd.
Yeah, it's absurd. But let's talk a little business here, okay? It's $4 million, right? You're buying WCW for $4 million. Do you get the wrestlers? No, because most of those wrestlers were under contract to Time Warner, so you weren't buying the contract of Kevin Nash. You were not buying the contract of Scott Hall. You were not buying the contract of Hulk Hogan. If you were buying all those contracts, then yeah, you know, WCW is worth easily maybe $100 million, okay? But you weren't. So the argument goes you're buying the husk of, you're basically buying the logo and the reputation of WCW. Now, what is the logo and the reputation of WCW worth? Probably $4 million. But what nobody noticed is one thing they did get for their money was the library.
Yes.
And that's worth a lot of money. This thing, that was highway robbery, what Vince McMahon pulled by buying WCW. And is the reputation that bad? It's the name is good. You could have... Am I wrong in thinking that he could have bought WCW and kept that invasion angle but run a separate show with the WCW brand and put it on another channel?
Yeah, right? And I think if he had it, if they were to do something like that today, that's probably how they would do it, especially with all of the content going up on the streaming services, and they got the Netflix deal starting next year. I think that's probably how they do it now. I mean, for me, that would be the natural evolution of this show, right? Who Killed WCW? And now my next series would be Who Botched the WCW Invasion Angle? You know, I would love to watch something about that.
Yeah, I always thought that they were going to keep the brand separate. They would put them on their own show. And then you could have had that twice a year, because WrestleMania, you got to put some of these guys on, right? But you could have had another pay-per-view, maybe have it in October. Remember, WWE does Night of Champions, right? You've seen that?
Yep.
You could have done a Night of Champions night where all the WCW champions go up against all the WWE champions, and then, you know, you could have the belts moving shows. And who cares? You own both shows. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It would have been fun. Like you said, I think you needed some of those bigger contract guys to make it worthwhile, and they just didn't get that. But you know, it all worked out the way it worked out, and now WWE is killing it again, and Triple H is in charge, and the storylines are good, and everybody's watching, and it's only going to get better as we start to see Roman come back, and then The Rock comes back, and we're set up for some good wrestling here for through the end of the year and early into the next.
Yeah, but that show was really well done. Anything that those guys do on Vice is great. Like the Tales from the Territory stuff is absolutely spectacular. I don't know if you've seen that that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Ring is absolutely awesome. You know, Tales from the Territories are just, you know, that's just great. You know, how violent it was back in the day. It's hilarious.
Little old school, yeah.
Yeah, I like the story where Jerry Lawler talks about the other wrestler that had beef with him, had heat, and he came into the ring with a knife, and the fans thought, oh, this is some type of angle. And Jerry Lawler's thinking, this is not an angle. This guy's trying to murder me in the ring.
Yeah, I must have this guy. Yeah, man, those things like that happen. I've had a few people hop the ring on me a couple times, and we had to dish out some old school justice, but it's not anything like it used to be.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think we'll leave it here. Hopefully next week. Odds that the Dolphins have a new deal with Tua Tagovailoa by next week? I would say zero. I think they're going to take this right up to training camp. So over under July 25th, I would say around that time, you know, right before the 28th. So maybe the 27th. Maybe they have a deal the day before training camp. Something like that.
I hope so. Just get it done, Greer.
Yeah. But if you want to participate in these shows, you want to ask questions of us, you want to listen to us live, you could go to our Discord. That's discord.gg/onlyfins, and you become a member there for $3 a month. We will talk to you again next week.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Offseason, American Alpha. Until next time, raise your fins, raise your glasses, and we'll talk to you next week.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.